Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How is everybody? Well, the big news of today, the big announcement of the day, is that we've got two baptisms today. Let's hear that. It's a big deal. Olivia Harvey, Russell Berry are both getting baptized today in the service. That's why we skipped the transition, so that we would have a little bit more time to spend together. But it's an exciting day. I will admit to you, this is only my second and third baptism that I've ever done. For those of you that don't know, I'm new to this. So I was nervous this morning for the first time in a while. I felt really nervous. And I was telling God, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I've never baptized anybody before. I mean, I'm going to try my best. And I felt like God said, well, you're not doing anything anyway. I'm doing it all. So you just get up there, don't come in the water, and I'll do the rest. So that's what we're going to do. But I met with them this morning. I met with Olivia a few weeks ago. Lee and I did. And it's exciting. T came in last week, and during the transition, T Taylor, who's one of our council members, and he shared about new life starting. He talked about spring last week and new life happening in our church, in the messages and in within the people. And I thought, well, nothing better represents new life than baptism. That same day, Russell came up and said he wanted to be baptized. And Olivia had called a couple weeks ago about it. But how many of you know that's new life? That's literally what baptism is. It is the old self is going to die, and then new life is going to rise from the grave today. And it's exciting to me. I'm trying to get to a place where I have faith for that, to believe that something special is going to happen today during this baptism. It's a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery that God would want us to get in some water to cleanse our sins. But he said to do it. And all through the scripture, the precedence is so cool. With all the people that got baptized, something major happened. As they came out of the water, they were speaking in tongues and prophesying and living these new lives. So we're excited to be able to be a part of that. And it's, you know, it's so good for them, but you know what else? It's so good for us. You know that? Scripture says that when we get baptized, we're getting baptized into something. And one of them is the body of Christ. You're getting baptized. So again, in the mystery of it all, when they get baptized today and this new life comes, somehow it's connected to us. And we are all one body, aren't we? Everybody here, we're all connected in Christ. Christ is our head. You are the body. I am the body. And somehow or another, something special is going to happen today with baptism. So I'm excited, if you can't tell. Well, amen. Let's pray real quick before we get started. Lord, like I said, I'm excited. I'm excited, Father, that you're in our midst. I'm excited, Father, that you put yourself on somebody's heart, people's hearts in this church, and that they want to live a new life, Lord. They want to devote themselves to you publicly here today. And we're excited, Father, that you're going to receive them. And it's going to be a sweet-smelling aroma coming up to you, Father. I'm thankful, Father, that you are pleased with us and that you love your people, Lord. I'm thankful that your word dwells richly in this church, Father, and amongst your body here. I pray, Father, that you have your way today in this church, in this message, and in the baptisms today. I pray that you have your way, Lord, that we'll be free enough to let you move and do whatever you want, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit to fall on us. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will fall on Russell and Olivia as they come out of this water, that they'll come out breathing new life and excited and fresh and new eyes to see. I pray the kingdom will come. Have your way in this meeting, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, real quick, we'll just recap. I'm going to keep it kind of short today so we can get on these baptisms, which is the most important thing. But I wanted to recap last week a little bit, and then I'll say a couple things about baptism, just a few points, and then we'll get in the water. Last week I preached on Christ's word out of Matthew 5, that we are the light of the world, that you are the light of the world. We talked about that as a statement of fact, that you are the light of the world. Christ doesn't say you should be the light of the world. He doesn't say if you act a certain way, you are the light of the world. He says you are the light of the world. Oftentimes we think that is a statement of opinion, that we should be the light of the world. But it's not. It's not at all, is it? We are it. I likened it to being the head of your house as a husband. That we are. I am the head of my house, whether I act good or not, whether I act like Christ or not. I represent Christ in my family, and I am the head of my household. If I move away from my family 1,000 miles and don't speak to them ever again, I'm still the head of that household and will be judged accordingly by God. Same thing goes for you and me with being the light of the world. The light is in you. Christ is the light of all men. And when you came to him, what happened is he put his light in you. And so no matter what you feel about yourself, it doesn't matter how you feel, where you've been, what you've been doing, you are a light. And the question is how bright is that light shining? Christ says, you don't take a light and put it under a bowl where you can't see it anymore. And I think he said that on purpose because we do that, don't we? My question to you last week is, how bright is your light shining? Do your coworkers know that you have a light within you? Does the Walmart cashier know that the light lives in you and that it's shining? Or have you buried it for one reason or another? And my encouragement to you in that was that I said, nobody else is coming. You are the light where you're at. I said, I feel like God, I truly believe that God has put us each individually, strategically in the places that we are at in our lives today for our lights to shine. And I don't think anybody else is coming. Your place is your place. Where God gave you is the place that he gave you. And the people that are around you every single day are looking at you, whether you know it or not, wanting to see if this light is really within you. And the reason I know that for sure is because the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3, it says that eternity is set in the hearts of all men and women. Eternity is set in the hearts. Thank you, John. There's a little baby back there. Eternity is set in the heart of all men and all women. So no matter what, I don't care what you think about your coworkers, they might be the worst people on the planet. Inside of them, when they were born, God put something in them that speaks of him, that desires him. I believe every man, every woman, every child has something in them that desires God. So they're always looking. They're always looking for the other option that the world does not give. They're looking for something all the time, and it's something with God because their hearts are desiring it. I told a story last week about me working at the county co-op for those of you that weren't here. And I was saved when I was young. My dad walked away from the church when I was 12 years old, and so therefore I did. And I had nothing with God for many, many years. And when I was 21 years old, I started working at the county co-op. And I remember talking to the guy that got me saved, Marty Coleman. And he was talking to me one day, and he was a very sarcastic guy and very not acting like he was saved half the time. But he said to me, he said in a sentence, he said, God really helped me today. I don't even remember what the whole context was. Something about him and Sarah building something at their house. He said, yeah, God helped me. And it was just such a strange thing for me to hear. And I said, what did you just say? And I thought we were going to make a joke about it. And he said, God helped you today. And he was like, yeah. And he wasn't kidding. And I just kind of wandered away pondering. And I realized that eternity that was set in my heart that spoke something to me that longed to hear what he was talking about. What was that? That was just a little flicker of light that came out of him and hit me in a place that was so random and weird that it changed my life. I grieved last week telling y'all that from the ages of 12 to the age of 21, I genuinely don't remember anybody talking to me about that. And then I thought about myself, of course, and if I've reached out to people and young men like me growing up. But nobody talked to me about God. That was the first time I heard anybody say in 18 years that God was good. In my real life, I might have heard somebody on TV or at church or something, but when he said that to me, it did something in my heart. And it helped me with writing that sermon last week because I said, I was longing for another watch. I had lived in the world long enough. It had done its damage to me, and I was done in my heart. And all it took was somebody saying, God help me today, that opened this door. I remember that very night, Marty was my neighbor too.
We never got away from each other. So I came over to his house and I talked to him about God that day. And I said, what are you doing? And he just opened all these doors. It was that simple. It was that simple. What if somebody would have done that 5 years prior? Saved me from so much harm and difficulty.
My question is, can you say that to your coworker? Can you say anything about God to your coworker? Can you just mention his faithfulness to you, his kindness to you, his love for you? Can you do that? Have you done that, and are you doing it? Because you are the light of the world. If Martin Coleman wouldn't have done that to me, I don't know where I'd be. What if he hid that under a bushel, as the scripture talks about? What if he did that to me? Where would Brantley Johnson be today? Where would Lee Johnson? Three boys after that. Let our light shine. Amen. Let your light shine. Say it with me. Let my light shine. People are watching us and waiting, and they desire to have you. Teach them about themselves. The scripture says that that the earth is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed to them. We read it in Romans also. It says, how will they know if you don't preach it to them? How will they know? You are the chosen instrument of God to the world. I want you to try to embrace that responsibility today. Not tomorrow, today. I want you to try to embrace that responsibility that you are responsible for the guy next to you in your world, whether or not he's going to know the Father. I painted a picture last week and said that my fear when I meet God was not going to be that he's going to show my sins and all the things I did wrong. That's forgiven. What I do think he's going to do is show me all the opportunities that I missed. He's going to show me all the people that I had an opportunity to speak to and witness to and give back the message that was given to me so generously. And I don't want to withhold that. I don't want to stand before God and say I withheld that from these people. Amen?
Amen?
You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Let's embrace that. Amen?
Amen?
After that sermon is when Russell came up to me and said that he really wanted to start his life being a light to the world. He said, I want to start, yeah, praise God, amen, Cheryl. He wanted to start fresh in there. And he said, I really want to be alive. And I love that, Russell. I love that so much. I love that you're going to share that with us today and let us be a part of it. Olivia called a couple weeks ago wanting to be baptized and said she had just a deep desire to make a public declaration. And family of Olivia back there, I just want you to know we love Olivia very much. We really love Olivia. She has been a wonderful blessing and has had to this church and has brought so much with her. And she's got up here and spoke a couple times, and I think everybody in here was moved. She's a good speaker. But I love God laid it on her heart to get baptized. She told me this morning, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this. I don't think you will. You might want to share it again. But she told me this morning, she said, I said, why did you want to get baptized? And she said, I realized for the first time that I had my own God. And I wanted to make that a declaration. She said, he's not my friend's God. He's not just my parents or my family's God. He's my God. And that's powerful. There was our old pastor, Bill Herring, here that he started this church. The pastor, Pastor Murphy, shared a great sermon when I was here one time about it's called Get Your Own God. It's a powerful thing. Get your own God. Not your daddy's God. Not your mama's God. Not your friend's God. Not even your church's God per se. But you get your own God, that you know him personally. And Olivia said, I have that now, and I want to make a public declaration. And that's what we're going to do today. Amen? We're going to make a public declaration. All right, I'm so far from notes. I don't know if I can get back. Yes. Today? Okay. All right, so we're going to do that today. All right, yeah, it's fine. You have clothes for you? All righty, well, let's do it. You good? Well, praise God. That's amazing. I'm really excited. Well, we better shorten this up even more then. That's amazing. New life at New Covenant Church.
Thank you.
Well, let's read a couple of scriptures. I'm just going to skip over a bunch of stuff because we got a lot to do here. But I just want to read a couple of scriptures. Romans 6, 1 through 14. And again, I'm not going to expound on this very much. I had a whole thing laid out, but we got a lot. So here it is. Romans 6, this is Paul teaching about baptism. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life." Say it with me, new life. New life today. "If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Can I go this far? I'm going to keep reading. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey evil desires. Do not offer your parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin is not your master, because you're not under law, but you're under grace." Amen. That is a great scripture. Baptism represents death first. Something has to die. Your old self has to die. And it, you know, I heard this great sermon from Bob Mumford one time. He called it "The Farmer's Daughter." He talks about a farmer who baptizes his daughter. And he says it's a violent act. It's a violent act. Something has to die. I wish I could play it here for you because he's so much better of a speaker than I am. But he talks about, he said, if one hair floats to the top of the wall, she's not fully cleansed. Everything has to die. That's what's going to happen today, Russell, Olivia, is you're going to go underwater. And symbolically, your old self, and I think spiritually, is going to die and be buried with Christ. That's the part of it. We all have to die to ourselves, don't we? In order to live, Paul says, we have to die first with him. Paul calls us to pick up our cross daily. Christ calls us to that too. And crucify our flesh every single day. Baptism represents death. Dying to our sin nature. Believing that no longer the past has any hold on you. The past is gone. After today, Russell, Olivia, your past is gone, and you will rise up to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what we're doing here today, just like our Lord did. Baptism represents new life. The old is gone, the new has come. What is dead cannot hurt you anymore. You must let it die, the things that hurt. The things that are sinful in nature must die, and then they won't hurt you any longer, and you can be new again. Everything will be removed and cleansed and left in the water, which is symbolic of the grave. Our old self is crucified with him, so the body of sin might be done away with. That's what verses 6 and 7 say. You will no longer be slaves to sin. I'm just reading out from this now. Your past does not determine your future any longer. which is great news. Baptism represents death. That's the first point I was going to make. And quickly, we'll just move forward here. What comes out of the water is new life. Brand new life. A new beginning. Cleansed, pure, nothing held against you. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm so excited to see your life after this happens. I think about some of my brothers. I've seen so many people baptized here. And that's exciting to me to think y'all are doing it here too. Mr. Murphy, all the people you baptized here. We get to keep adding to that number. It's so exciting to me. But I think about the people, Jack, I think about when you get baptized. I was telling them this morning when you got baptized in this lobby out here. Jack came out of the water rejoicing and screaming and full of the Holy Spirit. The precedence in the scriptures, when you come out of that water, Christ did it, all the disciples did it, whenever they anything talks about, the Holy Spirit falls on them. And they come out speaking in tongues and prophesying, and their lives are changed forever, and the Holy Spirit is leading them from that point on. That's what we're hoping for today with you guys, and believing is going to happen. Your lives will be changed, and new life will come. Clean and pure, you'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus. So exciting. It's so exciting that God allows us to even do this, to even take part with Him. I underline in that scripture I just read to you, it says six different times with Him, with Him. And I was reminded again that that's what it's all about. He wants us to be with Him in everything that He does. Why did Christ get baptized? Did He need to wash His sins away? He didn't need any of that. He said, so that all righteousness may be fulfilled, is why we did it. I believe that He did it because He wanted to do everything that we had to do. He wanted to be like us in every way, just like all the human side of it. He wanted to come and do exactly what we did. And He just wants to be with us and provide a way that we can be clean with Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, baptism represents new life. And then my last point was going to be that you are baptized into the body of Christ. We all gain from this. It's all exciting. It's not just for them, and it's not just for their family. It's for the family of God, all of us. We all get to share in this joy. And I'm excited to do it. So, y'all ready to get started? Let's do it.